What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today's sponsor is Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/recode and using the promo code RECODE. Terms and conditions apply. Hi, I'm Kara Swisher, executive editor of Recode.
And I'm Lauren Good, senior editor of technology at The Verge.
And this is Too Embarrassed to Ask, a podcast that's all about making technology easier to understand and use.
If you have questions about tech that you've been too embarrassed to ask, you have found the right podcast. We'd like to say that no question is a bad question, so send us yours.
And submit your questions in advance by tweeting them to @Recode or to myself or to Lauren with the hashtag Too Embarrassed.
Just send them to me.
Send them only to Lauren. @LaurenGood, right?
@LaurenGood.
With an E.
Kara doesn't check.
No.
Actually, she does. I see her tweet storming in the middle of the night. But send me your questions.
In any case, it's Too Embarrassed, two R's and two S's. Embarrassed, as we always say, in case you cannot spell.
Thank you. That's a tough word for some people,
it's not
apparently.
Really, it's not a word hard for anybody
it
who
is.
Can
I spotted
spell.
A typo this weekend on a
did
news
you?
Website with
did
embarrassed
you?
Spelled wrong. Yeah, it really did.
Not
and
ours.
I thought, I know, because I have Kara's voice in my head.
In any case, you can find all our past episodes on iTunes at itunes.com/tooembarrassedtoask. And while you're there, leave us a review.
Five stars. So, I have a question
yes.
for you.
All right.
What year is it? Because
right.
I'm going to tell you four things
right.
that have come to my attention
All
this
right.
week.
Come to your attention.
The first is there will be a Trainspotting 2.
Okay.
I think
oh
Trainspotting came
Remember
out that? In like 1995.
Yeah, something like
the
that.
The second is that Temple of the Dog is going on tour again. Do you remember Temple
no.
of the Dog?
No.
They were a spin-off band of Pearl Jam that had Eddie Vedder and Chris Cornell in
All
it.
All right, if you say
okay,
so.
Okay, so mid-90s we're talking
All right.
about here.
Okay, yeah.
High-waisted jeans are coming back.
I know. I have many pairs still, so I'm always in fashion.
You held on to them.
I held on to
I
the mom
I applaud
jeans.
You for
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then...
I have clogs still.
All we've talked about so
yes.
far for the past 2 days of this week, because it is only Tuesday as we're taping this,
yeah.
is Yahoo.
Yes, Yahoo!
The
Yahoo.
90s. It's the 90s all over again.
It's not the 90s.
Yahoo.
It's got sold. It's a big deal. It got
it's
sold.
A really
it's
big
the
deal.
End of an era. It's not the beginning of a new one, but it's the end of an era. Yes, the one of the most famous, iconic internet companies, the first real breakout star besides AOL. Was Yahoo, and it got sold this week for a song, essentially.
We are going to spend this entire podcast talking about Yahoo.
Yes.
Because I feel that I cannot miss this very unique opportunity
yes.
to ask. I just said very unique, and that's one of your pet
you
peeves.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was horrified quite
See,
silently.
See, now Kara Swisher's voice is in my head.
There's no such
time.
Thing as very unique, everybody.
I have the
difference
unique
between,
opportunity.
Do you know the difference between its and its?
I, of course I do.
Okay, fine. Just
yes.
checking. Go ahead.
It's without, as anyway.
In any case.
In either case. I have the unique opportunity to ask the woman who has been hiding in Yahoo's air vents for the
yes,
past
I have.
Decade.
Yes,
exactly.
Decade.
What is going
I have been covering Yahoo
company.
Since it went public.
Oh wow!
In the 90s.
So
in
that
the 90s.
Was 99.
What were you like 14?
It was founded in 95, right?
Somewhere around there.
And
yeah.
then I think it went public before Google.
It did.
Right?
Oh
Google,
yeah, long before Google
went public.
No, it was
in
the hot company. Google was not existing. Yahoo was a big deal way before Google was founded.
We're going to talk all about this.
And in fact, I have a really good story about that. If you ask me about Yahoo, helped Google become big.
Okay.
I have an excellent
That's,
story
we're
about
We're
going
to get to that.
Yes.
And by the way, we are going to answer everybody's questions because a bunch of you sent in some really great
People
questions.
People love to talk about Yahoo.
About
it's
Yahoo.
Bizarre. No one uses it, but they love to talk about it.
We only got one question from a millennial who said, What is Yahoo?
Oh.
And I think he was very facetious. Eric Johnson.
Yeah.
All right. But, so, okay, first. So tell me about how you first started covering Yahoo. I want to start with this.
I was covering America Online. Which I lived in Washington, D.C. I worked for the Washington Post, and I was writing about America Online. And America Online thought about buying Yahoo when it was a startup and was going to purchase it, essentially. It was started as a directory, I think, yet another hierarchical, officious oracle. That's what Yahoo stands for.
Yes, it's an acronym.
Yeah, and so it was a directory. It was not a search engine. People think of it as a search engine, but it was a directory. And they actually had people, largely white, geeky men, sitting there, taking things off the beginnings of the internet and putting them in the directory and by hand, classifying them by hand into this is a sports site, this is a business site. It was all, but and they had these surfers essentially that did that. And
human people,
a directory.
Not bots.
It was a directory, not bots.
Because this
was
before
people.
Google had come up with this idea
yes.
of sending bots out to crawl the web and
yes.
bring all the information
yes.
back.
Yes, yes, because Yahoo did not have search. They later bought a company, Overture and others, that did search and search ads. But initially, they were not a search company. They were a directory of the internet to make it easier. Because it was almost like a phone book of the internet essentially, but it was handcrafted.
How many people were using it at the time?
Everyone on the early internet was, because there wasn't much to do. I mean, you used to be able to organize the internet. I'm not saying search the internet was really hard. And so when it was first put up, and this seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't. It was the mid-1990s, early and mid-1990s. You know, you had the Mosaic browser, and you had a way to get around the World Wide Web, which is what everybody called it, not the web, the World Wide Web. And you had to have a directory to help you do that. And there were several like it, but Yahoo was the one that really came through at the time.
And so you were covering AOL,
yeah.
And then covering Yahoo became sort of a natural segue.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so then, I mean, you're kind of fixated on Yahoo.
Well, it was really the first startup, like the first really mm-hmm. fantastic startup. Everyone had been covering Microsoft and chips and Intel and things like that, but nobody was covering this very nascent internet atmosphere that was growing, this environment landscape. And there was Netscape, there was Yahoo, there was the beginnings of eBay, which was started by Pierre Omidyar. Mm-hmm. Amazon was very small. I remember meeting Jeff Bezos when he had just a dozen people up in a really crappy office in Seattle. So there wasn't much. So you could know about it really quickly. And Yahoo was sort of the, along with AOL, were the two power players, really.
What was it like when you had to pitch stories to an editor at the Washington Post?
Well, at the Washington Post.
Covering these services.
Well, they wanted me to cover AOL. It was called Digital Services, or I forget what they call online services. You know, nobody cared about it. Nobody thought it was a big deal.
Did you have to twist some arms in order to
No, it was my job. I was, because mm-hmm. AOL had started there. A lot of the early internet had started there because it was near something called May East, which was one of the hubs of the internet, which was before it was commercialized. It was a government thing, and then it was commercialized. And when it was commercialized, a lot of services that would let you link to the internet. There was one called PSINet. There was a whole bunch of them that essentially they were ways to get onto the internet. And AOL was also located there because of it.
So it started out as a directory. Mm-hmm. It acquired search technology, became a search engine.
One of the first articles I did for the Wall Street Journal when I moved to the Wall Street Journal was of the surfers. I spent the day with the surfers and wrote about how they decided, you know, where to put things. Mm-hmm. But it was all hand done. It was really fast. It was run by a woman, actually, which was unusual for the time. But she managed all of them, and they literally sat in a dark room. And
at what point did Yahoo become this place where people went for email, hot jobs?
Well, it started to add things.
Classifieds.
It started
to
add
become
things.
Like the
so
portal.
It was run by Jerry Yang and Dave Filer were the founders, but then it was run by a man named Tim Kugel and Jeff Mallett. There were other executives there. And at some point when it started to grow, they brought in Terry Semel because they thought of themselves as a media company. And they started to add different things. They bought up a search product. I forget that. I remember the party that they threw when they bought the search product.
Did they buy AltaVista?
It wasn't AltaVista. It was another one. I'm blanking. Anyway, the only reason, you know, the name had some sort of climbing thing into it because they had a climbing wall in the San Jose Hotel and you had to climb up the wall. And I still have a carabiner from that party. I know. It's like, you know what I mean? They started adding things to it. And then Terry Semel came in a little later and started focusing on media. You know, they started doing the media properties and all kinds of things. At one point, Yahoo had a TV show, a news TV show, where everybody was dressed in Gap clothes. I mean, they tried everything. It was really fascinating.
But it was on the internet?
Yeah. No, they had a TV news show they were trying.
Huh.
Yep.
Was their business model always ad-based?
Yes, it was always ad-based.
Okay.
Yeah, but they tried to add other things. The mail. Their first people, My Yahoo was the first personalized. I mean, I can't even think of the way it worked. But, I mean, in terms of which came first. But they added in media. They added in mail. They added in personalization. They were the first company that did the personalized Yahoo page, if you remember. And it was a port. It was the era of the portal, where that's where you went through the portal. And there was Excite, actually, originally.
I mean, I remember using it.
There was lots.
Not
InfoSeek.
Not as well as you probably did because you were actively covering it. But mm-hmm. we'll talk about that later, my very rare experiences with Yahoo.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Google happens.
Yes, then Google happens.
And how does this change things?
Google became the original search product on Yahoo. Before Yahoo had a search engine, they had Google. And so what was really interesting is it would be Yahoo and then search powered by Google. It would be in the corner. Their little name, their little logo was there. And so Google got its initial users, much the same way AOL got its initial users from Netscape browser. Google got its initial users from Yahoo. It was it was a big deal. And Yahoo owned a big piece of Google when it went public. People forget that. And sold it too quickly, actually, fast. They sold it at a very low stock price. But they had a significant portion of Google when it went public. And they were the search engine on Yahoo because Yahoo didn't have that capability. And I remember meeting Larry Page and Sergey, I guess, might have been there. And they had like this paper showing, it was white paper all around the edges of the room, showing the growth of Google on Yahoo, Google search on Yahoo. Mm-hmm. But it was Yahoo search, but it was powered by Google. And so you'd see this grow and grow, and you'd see it. They had it like, it was almost like crayons. I'm recalling crayons. But they showed this search rising of Yahoo search powered by Google. But then you started to see Google search for Google getting bigger than the Yahoo search powered by Google. Whatever. They started their business on Yahoo, but the Google brand started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would follow it around the room. And even though Yahoo search was growing, powered by Google, Google search was getting bigger than that. And so I kept looking at it. You could visually see what was about to happen, which that Google was becoming a brand built on Yahoo's traffic.
Did you have any inkling then that they would eclipse Yahoo?
Oh, yes, because I looked at it because you could see it. You could see what was happening, that Google was building a brand off of Yahoo's audience. And so I looked at it and I turned to Larry Page, and I'm sure he doesn't remember this, and I said, do they know? And he said, no. And he knew what I was saying. Do they realize what they're doing? They're facilitating your success. And it had happened before. So I'd seen it happen with AOL and Netscape and others, where they facilitated the success of other people's businesses and didn't realize the real business was AOL or Google. And I called up Sherry Yang right afterwards and I said, you need to get Google off of Yahoo right now or else buy it. I don't care. Just like you need to move it. And he's like, oh, Carrie, you're so negative all the time. He always thinks I'm so negative. And I said, no. They're going to be enormous and they're going to build. I've seen it happen. Like I felt like John the Baptist kind of thing. And he was like, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, okay, like, but they're going to be a big brand. And you could see that, you know, how much smarter they were and how search was really where it was at, where it was going.
At what point did Yahoo listen to that advice?
Well, when they realized, they threw Google off later.
And that was, so around what year was all of this happening?
Oh, God, I'm totally blind. I was in Silicon Valley, so it was somewhere in the 2000s, somewhere in the early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Okay.
And, you know, it was after the AOL Time Warner merger. I don't remember. In any case, they bought a company that started to do search. Then they were the first ones that were doing search advertising. They bought Overture. There was a big lawsuit between Google and Yahoo about that. But Google had surpassed them in technology talent and really was, you know, Yahoo was frittering around on the sides and Google was going right for search, which was the key part of where the internet was going.
How did Yahoo fare in the dot-com bust?
Fine. It was fine. It just was, you know, everybody liked Yahoo. It was very friendly. It went much more for consumers and media where Google went for technology and search. And obviously Google minted money once they got the search advertising going and really it became a real flywheel. And, you know, Yahoo was sort of doing all kinds of, they bought all kinds of companies. Like they got worried about video and they bought broadcast.com, video and audio, and made Mark Cuban a billionaire, but nobody else, you know, essentially. They bought another one, I'm blanking on the name of it. Ugh, they bought another, I kept writing about all these things. They kept buying and trying to add to it. And I think really it was at the heart of their problem is they never knew what they were. They were everything.
It was just
a sort of a catch-all.
It was a portal, but it had all these
and then they added different things. I mean, when Mark Cuban became richer than Jerry Yang, and it was fascinating to watch.
What do you think to this day was the most successful area of Yahoo's products and services?
Their media. I think they really did understand, business. You know, their sports, their finance, their
you
things
consider
like
fantasy
that.
Sports a part of their
yes,
media,
absolutely. It's media.
News,
it's media where it was
that.
Going. Okay. I think they never stuck. You know, they never stuck to anything very clearly. Like they had a communication service, but they weren't WhatsApp. They could have been Snapchat. They had Flickr. They had the best photo service on the internet, but they didn't become Instagram. They were very early to a lot of things that they never took advantage of. It was always a question of execution and managerial talent, I think, in a lot of ways, and a lack of focus.
So take us quickly through the CEOs that we've seen.
So
we've
many.
Seen.
Well, there was the original ones, Jeffrey Mallett and Tim Kugel. Then there was Terry Semel, who during his regime did manage to buy the Alibaba stake, so which saved Yahoo in its later years. So, you know, as it turns out, his was a very successful reign, even though he was moved along, as everyone is at Yahoo, who runs it. And then Jerry Yang came in and had a very not a great tenure. I like
how long was
personally.
He there after he came back?
How long was Jerry come? He was CEO for several years, I think. Not a successful CEO. And then came Carol Bartz.
Right, Carol,
remember?
That's right.
Carol.
And then Carol was, after her was Scott Thompson.
Scott, who left because he lied about his resume.
Because of the resume gates. Yeah. And then was it Ross before Marissa?
Ross was, there was a temporary Ross one in there somewhere. Tim, who was the CFO, I think. And then when Scott was thrown out, Ross was temporary. And we thought Ross would become the CEO. Had a very big media bent.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I remember Ross Levinson was all about media, turning Yahoo into a media company.
Probably was right.
and got the ball rolling on hiring some marquee names in media and saying this is how we're gonna build into this brand.
Yeah. And then he didn't do the ones Marissa did. Marissa did Katie Couric and David Koch and stuff. That wasn't Ross.
And Paula Frolic.
Yeah. That was all Marissa. Mm-hmm. And then Marissa.
So how would you
the last CEO of Yahoo? It's like the last monarch of England. Wow. Or Denmark, really.
I mean, it's quite historical.
Yeah.
Who would you say was the best CEO in all of your years of covering Yahoo?
I can say not. Probably Terry Semel. Probably in terms of making the deal that at least kept it going for a while by doing that Alibaba deal. He had some really smart executives, Dan Rosenzweig, Sue Decker, and others. And even though they didn't always do great in everything, they definitely, that Alibaba purchase was critical. And Jerry was critical to that, too. Very close with Jack Ma and believed in him. Yahoo had tried to go into China, like a lot of people, eBay, and wasn't successful and smartly just bought a piece of the most promising startup there, which turned out to be the one that was a good bet.
Do you think that Marissa Mayer could have saved Yahoo?
Not her herself, but it was in a state where...
It was savable.
It was savable, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
How so? What could have been done?
Well, look, it could have probably gotten sold for a higher amount of money, I suppose, rather than the money it got sold for. I think she had a lot of goodwill, first of all. If you remember when she came in, it was like, you know, parades and, you know, symbols and fireworks. I think they had all that money from Alibaba. And they had all that money from as it grew and grew and grew. They had a real opportunity. There were several properties they could have bought. You know, at some point there was a possibility they could have bought Netflix. There was a period when Netflix was super weak. There was all kinds of directions they could have gone and gotten smaller and leaner and smarter. And she sort of blew it out. She decided to swing for the fences, I guess, by doing all kinds of things. First, she went into media with all those hires of Katie Couric, who actually does some great work on Yahoo, just gets lost in the sauce there. Mm-hmm. They didn't execute well on that. They did magazines. They tried magazines. Then they went into search. It's a product they called Project Index. They still haven't delivered yet. Even though they had gotten out of search, she wanted to get back into search. Mm-hmm. This idea around Mavens, which is a mobile video. I mean, they definitely, she was trying to shift it from a desktop-only service to a...
more mobile focus.
Mobile focus. Yep. But, you know, Facebook did that quietly and deftly, and she went on and on loudly about it and wasn't successful.
So did, yeah.
They just did it.
There have been a lot of companies over the past 5 to 7 years where people have said they don't have a mobile strategy, and then, like you said, they just execute.
They had to execute, and Yahoo talked about it a lot, but didn't execute quite as much as they talked about it.
How much of Yahoo's problems over the past few years do you think have been due to perception rather than, I mean, I know for a while when Marissa was acquiring a bunch of companies, she was in a sense acquiring talent and trying to get people excited, engineers excited, talent excited to work there again.
Yeah. I think that's a canard. I thought that was ridiculous.
That was really effective. I think, what is the perception?
Here's how you build great products. That's how you succeed. If you build a great product or you buy a great product, people think look at Facebook, right? Look, remember, you could be grandma's old Facebook if it wanted. You know, it could have easily gone that way, and it still could. But, it, you know, it kept itself fresh. It bought Instagram. It bought WhatsApp. It bought Oculus. You know what I mean? Like, and then they also created some stuff. And look, they had a lot of dud products. Like, we could name all of the dud products of Facebook. But at the same time,
Google goes spring cleaning every spring. Yeah, exactly. Shutters a whole bunch of stuff.
But they also come up with some good products,
right? Exactly.
Right? You know what I mean? And so even Microsoft has had some really innovative stuff going on in lots of ways. And so I think the issue is when you have that many years of no great products. You know, redoing the weather app to make it prettier is not a great product. It's fine. And it, to me, I always call it table stakes. It's like when she added free iPhones and free food. I'm like, okay, table stakes.
Right. Lunch.
So, lunch. Everyone already gets lunch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
so, I think what's really hard, it is hard to do. There's now a meme going around saying it was impossible to fix. I don't think that was the case at all. And by the way, these people, all of them, not just Marissa Mayer, but all of them are paid enormous amounts of money. And then they throw up their hands and say it was too hard. I'm like, well, why did you take the money? Why did you say you could do it? Why did you, you know what I mean? Like, ultimately, I don't buy that.
Right. What is the phrase that you say when someone has reached a point
level
in their
career? Everyone rises to the level of their incompetence.
That's
you know,
it
and
is.
I think one of the things was they thought they would bring in this Google CEO, and then just because they worked at Google, they immediately could make things right. Well, Google was just an abnormally interesting place of talent all together at once. It doesn't mean if you pulled individual parts out that they could succeed. Although it's ironic that Tim Armstrong was also a Google executive at the same time Marissa was at Google. He's the head of AOL. Now, you could argue he made a mess of AOL when he first got there and he did all that, what's the neighborhood thing he did? I can't remember what it
Patch.
Was. Patch.
The news network.
You know, he did a lot of crazy stuff. Then he bought the Huffington Post, interesting idea. He did a lot of good and bad things, and he got attacked by a shareholder activist, Starboard Valley, the same one that attacked Yahoo. And he was smart. He sold off the patents. He cleaned it up. He brought the stock back up, he got rid of Patch, and then he sold it. It was really smart what he did. You know, he tried some things, it didn't work, and he was smart enough to know when to get out. Same thing with LinkedIn. I think Jeff was really smart, also a Yahoo executive, former Yahoo executive, you know, under Terry Semel, smart enough to know when the jig was up, like that it was time to go. And so I think, you know, you have to admire Marissa Mayer for her ambition, but you have to not admire her for her ambition. It was misplaced.
Right. So what was your favorite Yahoo product?
Oh, I thought my Yahoo was brilliant at the time. No one was thinking of personalization. Yahoo really did introduce personalization to the internet.
Was that like an about.me page?
No, that was Tim Armstrong. That was later.
Oh, I know that was
Yahoo. What you did is you just could change little blocks on the page. It was super simple. It was super at the time.
So it was customization.
Yes, it's customization of your experience. I think that was a brilliant idea. I thought it was very smart. It was very sticky. It kept people on Yahoo. You could make your page just the way you wanted. You know, it's not a paradigm we use now, but at the time it was really smart. Very clever.
I mean, now innovative. I think when you say something like it's personalized, yeah, people think it's all about me.
Yeah.
It's like my Twitter handle.
But it was. You could put your weather, you could put your news, you had like pick and choose block Lego like thing, mm-hmm, but it was smart. It was super. It was
actually,
at the time.
I vaguely remember that.
At the time, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I can move this web page around.
Yeah, right.
It was super cool.
It was cool. It was cool.
Super cool compact
computer.
Like,
you know, the first time you got a phone, it was like, now you laugh at it because it looks like a Lego, like a brick.
You can move apps around. And
yeah, right. Remember the original apps?
Yes.
You know, believe me, looking at apps in 10 years, you'll be like, what the hell? What were we thinking?
I had a Yahoo email account.
Did you? Lots of people did.
I did.
Still,
I had
a lot of people
email
still do.
Account. And you want to hear something funny? When we were in our last year of undergrad in college, mm-hmm, one of my housemates, she was one of the first people I knew who would openly admit to online dating. Like, it was, mm-hmm, still very taboo at the time. People didn't want to say that they were dating online.
Yeah, Yahoo dating
and,
at some point.
And she was using Yahoo Personals.
Yeah, they
and
had
I was
that.
Like, Yahoo has
everything.
A personal section?
They had everything.
And
they had cars.
The cars section. They had hot jobs. I remember putting my resume on hot jobs.
Too much. Too much. Not enough focus.
There was a lot going on.
Lack
Yahoo,
of focus.
But I remember, and of course, Tumblr.
Yeah,
we didn't even talk about Tumblr.
Oh, well.
But
yeah, that didn't
Flickr, work out. I mean, Flickr really
they
was,
bought it for a very small amount of money,
great,
$25 million.
Thing.
Whose founder later went on to found Slack.
Oh, that's right. Stuart, mm-hmm, of course. Okay, we should probably take a quick break because we should make some money.
All right. In a minute, we're going to answer some questions from our readers and listeners about Yahoo. But first, today's show is brought to you by Bombas, the makers of game-changing socks that have to be felt to be believed. I own all of Lauren Good's Bombas socks, and I'm not going to let her feel them, but perhaps I shall give them back.
I keep telling her to give them, just
no,
give them away to
they're
someone in
a bag.
Need.
I'm enjoying the socks quite a bit. Athletic shoes have gotten a lot better in the past 20 years, but your socks have not. Bombas has spent 2 years developing socks. They spent 2 years, people. Put these on. That are more comfortable, better fitting, and quality made. They sent several pairs of their socks to my office, and I like wearing them. They're made of long, staple Pima cotton, which means these socks are warm in winter and cool in summer. And Bombas is a company that also believes in giving back. For every pair of socks they sell, they donate another pair to someone in need in the United States. On my behalf, they're going to give 250 pairs of socks to The Sanctuary, an emergency homeless shelter here in San Francisco, who will have really nice socks. So find out for yourself what makes these socks so great. Go to bombas.com and get a 20% off your first order. Use the code ASK at checkout. If you don't love these socks, they will refund you. No questions asked. Go to bombas.com, that's bombas.com, and get 20% off your first order with the promo code ASK. This episode is also brought to you by Wonder Capital.
Make that money, Kara.
I'm making the money. You probably know someone
Bring
who's installed solar
bacon.
Panels in their home. I have solar panels in my home. Small and medium-sized businesses want to go solar too, but financing for commercial solar isn't easy to get. Wonder Capital is helping to solve the problem. It allows individuals to invest in their solar funds, which go directly to helping these small and medium-sized U.S. businesses go solar. Since the beginning of the year, Wonder has originated over $25 million worth of solar projects. While businesses pay their loans to Wonder, you receive monthly cash flows in the form of interest payments. Wonder Capital doesn't take any fees for investing your money. Two funds are available. The Wonder Income Fund returns 6% per year during a 10-year period, and the Wonder Bridge Fund returns 11% per year during a 2-year period. These funds are asset-backed, the asset being the solar panel. Learn how you can begin earning up to 11% returns at wondercapital.com/recode. That's wunder capital.com/recode.
I'm really glad you spelled that because I would have just, if I heard
Wonder,
I would say
oh.
Wonder, like Wonder Bread.
No.
It's Wonder.
That's still
Wonder,
probably, if we did Wonder.com, I bet it is Wonder Bread. And then you could order some of that really delicious bread.
Hey, Wonder Bread, why don't you sponsor us?
I like that would be good. I like Wonder Bread. I'm not going to jump on Wonder Bread just because I live here in San Francisco with all the artisanal bread.
You should watch the Michael Pollan series on Netflix.
Yes, where Flame,
castigates white
Too
Wonder
bad.
Bread.
I like Wonder Bread.
Because homemade bread and sourdough and all that stuff is
blah, 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 blah.
Better.
I like Wonder Bread. I like Wonder Bread with fluff on it. How about that? How's that for totally
cheese whiz?
Thick? Yeah. They are the Yahoo of bread. Okay, it's getting back. So every week we ask our readers and listeners to send in their questions, comments, and complaints about tech topics. You can do that by tweeting us at hashtag too embarrassed. This week we asked our listeners for their questions about Yahoo and Verizon. We got a lot of people care about Yahoo even if they don't use it. It's a really fascinating conundrum.
They really do. And I'm just going to say one thing really quickly, right. A lot of these questions, in fact, I think almost every single one was from a dude. So ladies, dude. We love you. Send in your questions as well. We want to answer them for you. All right.
Well, how do you know? Jacob could be a woman's name. But go ahead. Move on.
That's true. I'm making some assumptions here, but I'm going to go ahead and do that.
You're probably
okay.
right.
The first one is from Jacob Catalano on Twitter. He's at JG Catalano. Are you related to Jordan Catalano? Because we need to talk.
All right. Move along.
All right. Why did Yahoo sell for $4.8 billion when their market cap is $36 billion?
Ah, that's an easy one because they're stupid. No. Actually, a lot of their market cap is made up in owning assets of Alibaba in China and Yahoo Japan. They own a large stake in that. And they're worth – it makes up most of the market cap. They also have patents and also real estate. Some of the real estate went with AOL and Verizon, and some of it stayed in this other company. They're calling it NewCo or InvestCo. They're going to, and they have things like shares in Snapchat. She made some investments in Snapchat and some other companies. There's a Will.i.am company in there. And so all this cash, Yahoo had $7.7 billion in cash also, which also adds to the market cap. And it all goes into a separate company that's going to be a separate company, not called Yahoo. And then they'll eventually sell off, distribute the cash, and do different things. And so most of that $36 billion is in those assets.
So Verizon did not actually acquire of that.
Nope.
They only acquired
the
$4.8 billion, which is the core business
of
Yahoo.
Advertising business, some patents that have related to the business, and some real estate, but where Yahoo is headquartered in Silicon Valley, Sunnyvale.
There you go.
Yeah.
The next question is from Paul S. I'm pretty sure Paul's okay. Mm-hmm. Kara?
Yes,
agree?
I do.
Okay. Is Yahoo even relevant in today's tech world? Why is it such big news?
I don't know. It is such big
really?
News.
Really? I actually thought you were going to have a thoughtful explanation for this.
Know.
Like it is relevant because
I have
it was
made
the first
it interesting
internet.
By making it into the greatest soap opera of all time. No, I actually do think that's been the case. I think it's because it's an iconic brand. It is literally one of the first major brands of the internet. It is still incredibly well known. It is widely used. It has a big audience. It still does. It doesn't have the hot, techie, cool audience. It's not the Snapchat audience. It's not the young audience, but it's still used by a lot of people. So it is relevant to many people, Yahoo Mail, a lot of the Yahoo properties. And it's big news because when something like that goes, it's a really big deal.
It ushered in a new era. If you just think about 20 years ago, we were not using these tools. Mm-hmm. We didn't have smartphones. We weren't using all these apps and internet services and things like that. When you think about the transformation that has happened in our society over the past 20 years,
Yahoo commercialized
this is representative of what
it,
of all of
that. AOL and Yahoo were the two companies that really did consumerize the internet. You know, years ago, there was I still have a foam finger from original AOL that Bob Pittman came up with, who now runs iHeartRadio. He was a president of AOL at one point. And it was so easy to use. No wonder it's number one. I know.
But did you include that anecdote in your book about AOL?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kara, also, for those of you who don't know, wrote a book about AOL.
I know everything about AOL, sadly.
But you never got a chance to write the Yahoo book.
Yes, I'm not going to.
And now?
I turned it down.
There you go. You just have to go to
down.
All Things D and Recode.
I've written enough. I'm going to write the Lauren Good biography.
The next question, it's a juicy one.
Not really.
Let me tell you. Yeah, if you want to fall asleep at night.
Ariana
would tell you, read the Lauren Good book. You will sleep.
Hello,
you will
baby.
Go right
Speaking
to sleep.
Which, Ariana works for AOL. Hello.
That's right.
I called her. Are you going to take a Yahoo? She said, no, I'm going to have the Huffington Post, darling. That was good, huh?
That's
really
so
good. I'm telling you.
That was
hello,
so
baby. That's what she says whenever I answer
I
the
hope
phone.
Ariana listens to this.
Hello, baby.
Ariana listens to this to go to sleep at night.
Yes.
Okay, the next question is from Sahil Bala. It's at I am Sahil Bala on Twitter. What's the one reason Yahoo refused Microsoft in 2008, and was Yahoo relevant back then?
It was. Obviously, Microsoft wanted to buy it. It wanted to double down in search and
for
competing
a big
against
fee.
For a big fee. Right? It was $45 billion?
Yeah.
But it also included the Alibaba stake, which was kind of interesting. The thing is, Alibaba wasn't worth that much then, so that was mostly for the core business. It really was. You know, Alibaba was worth $10 billion then, or some smaller amount of money than it's worth today overall, the entire company. And so You know, the people who didn't sell it have told me since then they have a lot of excuses. They probably, most people think they were stupid not to sell. Mm-hmm. And I like the people who didn't sell, but many people think it was a dumb move that they didn't sell. They felt there wasn't a breakup fee. There was worries that it would go through or not, whether C. Bomber was very serious. But I think he was. It was a really ugly fight for a long, long time. It was a proxy fight. There's all kinds of stuff that went on. And I think it's one of the things that led to their demise, that fight. They didn't want to sell. One of the founders, David Filo, was not into selling. And it wasn't quite enough money. You know, there's a lot of deals like that. Sometimes they turn out well. Facebook didn't sell to Yahoo, mm-hmm. to Terry Semel, because he dropped the price. And it made Mark Zuckerberg mad. Well, that was a really good price drop for Mark Zuckerberg, because then he could refuse it. And
right.
went on to give be something. There's a million stories like that. And there's a million stories where they don't sell it and it turns out badly.
Was Yahoo relevant
yes.
back then in 2008?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%.
The next question is from at Will Robertson. Will Verizon look to sell off parts of Yahoo post-acquisition, examples Flickr, Weather, Tumblr? And then there was a follow-up question from David Mobile, who also asks, well, first he said enthusiastically, Lauren, I have like 500 questions. Mm-hmm. David, thank you. We love you. Thank you for sending them in. What will Verizon do with Tumblr and Flickr?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think they'll probably keep it. They want to do, as Tim Armstrong described to me, it's a multi-brand strategy on a common platform. That's his
So multi-brand thing. Makes you think
Huffington
multiple
Post,
brands.
Flickr, well, anything that can right. sell advertising or sell in some advertising sense, why wouldn't they hold on to popular things? Flickr's
because
been through the ringer.
Big picture here, which yeah. no one has actually asked yet, right. but like what this really comes down to is this is an ad play.
Ad
this
play.
Is just like it
yep.
was Verizon mm-hmm. buying AOL.
Yep.
They're buying
Not just
Yahoo.
Ad tech.
Ad technology.
Ad tech, yeah. And they have some very good, you know, I think their concept is, look, Google and Facebook are dominating all of digital ad technology and digital ads. Is there another way? Can we do it through media? And neither Facebook nor Google really have media per se, like media properties. And these are media properties. So it's, and they also, they're going to be a friend to publishers. You know, people don't trust Google and Facebook so much because they're going to be killed by Google and Facebook. And so there's AOL and there's Twitter, mm-hmm. you know, which will probably be sold next.
Casey Wagner asks, what job cuts do you see happening in the consolidation? What happens to the long-rumored mobile
yes,
search
index.
Project?
Project Index.
Yes.
I think, Tim, again, I asked him this and he answered, and he doesn't see that synergies were the key driver here, but they're going to make cuts, obviously, across the advertising stuff around the technology. They're going to make cuts. And he's very clear about making cuts when he does. So Marissa tried to make cuts quietly. I think that's why she lost a lot of credibility within the company, because she was laying people off secretly, essentially.
She had created this review process that was onerous, right?
Yeah, and then, people just thought it was a way to lay people off mm-hmm. in a sneaky way. She would disagree, but I think a lot of people felt that. I think that the Mobile Search Project Index, they put a lot of money behind it, a lot of people, run by a very smart engineer named Enrique Torres. I don't know. I don't think AOL will commit itself or Verizon to search. I mean, why would you do that in this era? First of all, search is changing so drastically. This is a mobile search product, but it's still...
you're really behind the curve at this
really
point. Everyone's focused on AI at this point and how search data is going to power...
I see that finish. I think that's
artificial intelligence.
I think that's not going to happen.
All right. There you go, Casey
They'll
Wagner.
Just eat it. They'll just eat it. Verizon can afford it.
Should it be worrisome at all that Verizon is yes. buying up all these web properties?
Well,
this is my question.
Be worrisome the Comcast
Hi, this is a question from Matt Lauren Good. That's
well,
what
it's the same thing with Comcast. Like, they have all this data on you. Like, all these companies, all these distribution companies have data on you. And so, you know, they don't have a choice. These Verizons, Comcast, AT&Ts, they need to own content. And they're facing up against the Googles and the Facebooks of the world and the Amazon. So they have to get differentiated. I don't see there's a choice.
Really. Content is king.
No, it's sort of a minor
data
royal
is king.
Figure. Data is king.
Data they get from
it's
you
a Vicont.
Using
content is
a Vicont. King.
The Duchess. Content is a Duchess.
Mandar LeMay asks, I used Yahoo Mail for all of my accounts. Should I be worried?
What about?
Well, Mandar, I don't know. I don't know if this is like a
Yahoo
privacy
Mail
has implication.
Yahoo Mail had a lot of issues or, last year. I wrote about it a lot, about Yahoo Mail technology issues. No, it'll continue. The mail will continue. It'll be.
I mean,
fine.
You may want to consider upgrading just because it's maybe time to usher in a new era.
Maybe
of web email, but
I think they'll be just. I think they know how to do mail at AOL and also Verizon. I think it's not going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. The next is from Edie Jones. Oh, this might be
Edie
be
is
a female.
Woman,
so, yeah. Yay! Thank you for sending in a question, Edie. At EDJ on Twitter. Where do you see Mayer landing after being shown the inevitable door? Is it a break for quote unquote family time?
Well, she's very wealthy. She's very wealthy from Google and from investments she's made and from this. She's made a lot of money from working at Yahoo. Silicon Valley is very forgiving. There's a meme that she tried her best. That's going to be the new meme. And Elle will be forgiven, and then she'll be able to do something else. I think there's not failure is very easy to forgive in Silicon Valley. And I think, you know, she's very adept at press, and so I think she'll probably be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Do not worry for Marissa Mayer or any executive in Silicon Valley that gets fired or doesn't succeed.
If you had to pick a company or a couple of companies right now where you could actually see her being a good fit, someplace to go, what would you?
I think she'll probably be a VC. She thought about it. I think before she almost went to be a VC, from what I understand, from people told me. I don't know. I think she'll probably remain. She's an active investor, angel investor. I doubt she'll take a CEO job anytime soon. But, you know, she's a very competitive person, so maybe. Maybe she'll show us. I don't know.
All right.
She doesn't speak to me.
We shall see. I know you haven't gotten invites to her parties over the years, huh?
I used to. I used to. They were nice parties. I'm sorry I didn't get invited to the new ones.
I can't possibly imagine why you would be off the list.
I was on the list and then I was off the list. This is the negative part of being a reporter, but I don't care. Actually,
well, that's the thing. You can't really care if you care about getting invited to the parties and people liking you. You don't become a reporter.
No, that's what it comes down to. Although I do get invited to more parties than I should be invited to.
You're like a tech celebrity now.
Tech celebrity? Is that what I am? A tech celebrity.
I used that word earlier today, and I was told never. Never
that
used
sounds
it.
Weird. It sounds like a weird
Eric is
disease. No, I have tech celebrity.
A lot of people here have tech celebrity.
It's like being famous in Pittsburgh. And I like Pittsburgh. Anyway.
This is a great question. Mm-hmm. It's from Baron Urkel. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Kara, what will you do with all of the newfound free time? And then as a follow-up, Pokemon?
Pokemon, never. Pokemon, get the fuck away. You know that's my policy on Pokemon. I have not cracked open that thing, and I'm not going to wander around staring at my phone searching for fake things.
But what will you do with all of your newfound free time aside from joining me on my podcast?
Oh, besides the podcast. You know, there's other companies. Twitter. I'm going to turn my attention to Twitter. Apple. I think they're going to be going through some hard times. I think Apple is a really great company to start. And they're secretive, and I like that. And I can get into the vents there. And I have a feeling they're a little more leaky than they used to be. Do you know what I mean? They used to be
the vents or the company.
It was like the prison you couldn't break into, right?
Yes.
Now I think you can.
Things have changed.
I think I can get in there. Hey, Tim Cook, get ready. And Twitter. I'm going to look at Twitter because I really love Twitter. As you know, I love to use Twitter and I love it as a product, but it's really got some issues as a company. And at the same time, some really cool things they're doing around live sports. I think that's pretty neat. And they're not much of a challenge. They're the leakiest. Civ.
Twitter is
literally the leakiest civ on earth.
I know. Jack, are you
sorry, Natalie Karras, but that's the case. I used to work at Apple. She's like,
Kara is referring to their new top PR person who
she's
just
not
joined.
Used to it. She's used to like
things being locked
things
down.
Being locked down.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, if you crawled
down
into those air vents at Apple, you were never coming back.
No, never
out.
Coming back out at Twitter. You can walk in and out just like that. In fact, I let's go have lunch over there. I don't think they'll stop us. You know, just
they do
there.
Have that fancy market downstairs.
No, but upstairs. I bet we can get upstairs. You know, like I used to do that. I used to stop at companies and have lunch sometimes.
Really? Did anyone ever kick you out?
No. But now that I'm a tech celebrity.
Tech celebrity.
Now people stop
but
me.
Beforehand, when
no,
you weren't
do,
a tech celebrity, would they
I,
kick
they
you
do.
Out?
I actually go outside
what would
and
they
people
say?
Here in San Francisco always stop me on the streets.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is I mean, sometimes you have real life friends, mm-hmm. like legitimate friends, not sources or poke friends and things like that, that will invite you to lunch at their company. And you're like, it's just going to create such a
it
headache
does
for you.
Havoc. I
don't.
Facebook
I'm not going to do
happened.
That to you.
Had,
thank you for
many
the invite.
People come up to me. They like Rico. They don't just like me. They like Rico. They think Rico's good. They like Lauren Good. They asked me about all the characters here at Rico.
All the characters.
Yeah. How's that, Lauren Good?
And what do you say?
She's a horrible diva in person.
Horrible
nice.
Human being.
She seems
terrible.
Nice. She seems nice. Anyway, I have tons of things to do. This podcast, we're doing video things. There's always an interesting story. Elon Musk alone, I could devote my entire life to him and do very well. Pokemon, but not Pokemon.
Elon Musk is just like the escapist fantasy we all need right now in these terribly
yes.
trying
You know, I covered
times.
Elon Musk when he was a nobody.
X.com was what became PayPal, essentially.
Well, he merged it. They used
they
to be
merged
rivals,
it.
But I met him when he was a young nothing.
That's right. It didn't become PayPal. They were rivals and then they bought them. But weren't they keeping the two brands distinct for a while?
And then
X.com became PayPal.
Yeah, and then they all fought with each other and warred and became wealthy. Peter Thiel was there.
Was that the company that he was ousted from while he was flying to his honeymoon? or something like that.
Didn't seem to hurt him, did it? Didn't seem to slow him
down.
No, no. You know, he was interesting. He wasn't, he's sort of legendary, sort of occupying the Steve Jobs visionary territory that Silicon Valley likes to have, and probably justifiably so. But at the time, he just was making a product to pay for shoes.
I like that he thinks big picture.
He does.
I think
he didn't then. He didn't then, but now he does.
He didn't then, you're
no,
saying?
No.
Well, I mean, it seemed as though he had some interesting thoughts about the way that payments were going to work on the internet.
It was just a way to pay for things.
Banking. I actually saved a quote from his master plan on my desktop.
Yeah.
And I'm not really, you know, a fangirl, mm-hmm. Nor do I really cover Tesla or SpaceX, but I follow it as someone who's very interested mm-hmm. in technology. And I loved this quote from his master plan.
This new one.
Yeah, the most recent one that was released mm-hmm. last week. He said the main reason was to explain how our actions fit into a larger picture so they would seem less random. The point of all this was and remains accelerating the advent of sustainable energy so that we can imagine far into the future and life is still good. That's what sustainable means. It's not some silly hippie thing. It matters for everyone. And I really liked that. I thought, when's the last time you imagined far into the future and you could picture life is still being good?
He is a very interesting thinker. We had a great interview with him at Code. I mm-hmm. thought it was fascinating until he ended the whole thing by saying we're all in a video game.
Yeah, we're all living in a simulation.
Simulation.
Yeah, this is a simulation right now.
He was just fucking with us, though, wasn't he? Just fucking.
Well, I mean, at some point, you see this like wry little smile.
No, I think he believes it. No, a lot of I have been approached by many Silicon Valley people of big name who have been telling me we're in a simulation for years now.
Who's controlling the simulation?
Future technologists.
Wow.
I know.
This is so meta right now.
But I don't believe it because I would be taller if it was a simulation.
No, why?
Why would you be taller?
Just because it's a binary thing and there would be a set of code that would make you taller.
I would have a much better.
Yeah, and you know, I would be mm-hmm, a supermodel exactly. and
that's
a
why we're not
PhD.
A this is real life, and we're about. And then we have this horrible election happening.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, Elon Musk is just even if he constantly misses his deadlines, and you're like. He still hasn't introduced this battery changing robot thing. And you know, half of this stuff he's talking about may not ever come to fruition. You have to, I think people are really embracing someone who's dreaming big right now in a time when the future seems so bleak.
I always say Silicon Valley has big minds chasing small ideas. I say that a lot. And mm-hmm. I think he's a big mind chasing a big idea. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy that. A lot of people are too. There's a lot of food stuff. There's a lot of energy stuff. I think we're getting into a frivolous and serious era at the same time. As our politics becomes more frivolous and ridiculous,
And by the time this podcast publishes, the both conventions will be over.
Yes, thank God.
I hope we will have recovered.
I don't think so.
And by the way, this podcast, we are taping this on a Tuesday and it's airing on a Friday. So there may be more news about Yahoo and Verizon and things may come out that we haven't learned yet. And Kara's like, I know them all.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
But thank you for answering all of the questions.
No problem. I'm going to keep covering Yahoo.
So basically, Yahoo, Tim Cook. Yeah. Jack Dorsey and Elon Musk, watch out.
Check your events. I am going to cover Yahoo. I told Tim, who is now, I'm now allowed to talk to Yahoo people now again. I wasn't under the Marissa Mayer era, but Tim is, he wrote me a note. He said, I can't believe they didn't talk to you. They get so much more pain for doing that. And part of it's pleasurable, even though it's painful. And I said, get ready for some pleasurable pain. Then it got into a weird situation about that. But I think, you know, he's a good person to cover because he can take it. You know, criticism and stuff like that. So it'll be fun. And Ariana is there too.
Should you do the whole outro?
No. Ariana's voice? It's been another great episode of Too Embarrassed to Ask.
This is uncanny.
I know, isn't it good?
It's really
good. I spent way
too
much time with it. I could do a lot of voice. I could do yours. I'm going to practice yours. Go ahead, Lauren.
All right. Wait, you're going to practice my voice?
Yes, I will. I'll get
to
it.
Oh, God. Well, everybody, if you enjoyed the episode as much as I did, be sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a review at itunes.com/Too Embarrassed to Ask.
And subscribing is great. You'll be the first to listen to new episodes every Friday or catch up on previous episodes where we answer all the tech questions that our listeners have been too embarrassed to ask.
That is itunes.com/too embarrassed to ask. Or you can also subscribe on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or you can listen to every episode at recode.net/podcasts.
And while you're there, you should check out our other podcasts. I'm going to do it in Ariana voice, like Recode Decode, Recode Replay, and Recode Media with Peter Kafka. Such a lovely man.
The Verge also, I'm going to do a Kara voice. Yeah, The Verge also has some great podcasts for your listening pleasure. Walt and Neil, I host Control. Walt Ali, ooh, what a name. Neil, I also usually host The Verge cast, never listened to it. Chris Plant hosts What's Tech.
Too.
Who is Chris Plant? And Liz Lopato and Emily Yoshida host Verge ESP. Oh, good. The Verge has two girls.
Yeah, two girls.
That's how Kara would read that.
Yes, it's true. I was just thinking that. Yay, women. Don't forget your questions ahead of time to @Recode with the hashtag TooEmbarrassed. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to our sponsors, Casper, Bombas, and Wonder Capital. Thanks also to Digital Media, which distributes this show. We'll be back next week to answer more of the questions that you've been too embarrassed to ask. Tune in then.